Aloha. Welcome to Island Issues, our weekly public affairs program about Hawaii Island's people, issues, and concerns. Now, here's your host, Sherry Bracken.
Aloha. Welcome to Island Issues. We're here on the radio every Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m. on Koa Country 107.7 FM and at 8 a.m. on Lava 105.3 FM. And then the interviews are posted for your anytime listening at lava1053.com and at koacountry1077.com. Just click on Island Issues and then on the Island Issues microphone. This morning, we're talking fire, rescue, emergency medical services, lifeguards, from two different perspectives. First, we'll get a basic update from Hawaii County Fire Chief Darren Rosario. Good morning, Aloha Chief Rosario.
Good morning, Sherry. Thank you for having me.
Glad you're here. And we're also going to talk about an event which is celebrating 20 years this year, which helps provide funding for those extra things that our fire and rescue and lifeguard teams would like to have and can only have via this fundraiser, which also recognizes members of the team every year. It's the Daniel Sayre Foundation Dinner. So we're also joined by Laura Mallory Sayre. Aloha, Laura.
Aloha, Sherry. Thank you for having us.
And her husband, retired dentist, Dr. Frank Sayre. Hi, Frank.
Hi, Sherry. Good morning.
So, Chief Rosario, give us a brief update on Hawaii County Fire Department. First of all, personnel, how many folks do you have? Firefighters, rescue, lifeguards, those kind of folks?
Sure. The Hawaii Fire Department operates with about 350 career firefighters, and we augment that with about 175 volunteer firefighters. So these are community members who volunteer and get trained by our department in basic firefighting, and they help out their communities responding to fires in the rural areas prior to the career firefighters arriving on the scene from the regular fire stations throughout our island community here. We also have 55 water safety officers who help protect our county beaches and Hapuna State Beach Park, which is on a contract from the state. And, you know, we're very fortunate to have all of those members working, and they're also supported by about 40 support services personnel, which makes up our office staff as well, and 15 fire radio dispatchers who are part of our department and an integral part in getting help to your emergency in a prompt manner.
Well, everybody, I think, is very appreciative of the work the Hawaii County Fire Department does. And in fact, last time you were here, we were talking about the Lako Street fire, where I personally witnessed your volunteers sticking around for 2 weeks every single night, spending the night there. And all of your firefighters, volunteers, and career always go out of their way. I mean, everybody knows it. But Chief Rosario, you forgot one member of your fire team. You have an additional member with four legs.
Yes, that would be Kaimi, our arson dog. And once again, he is the only arson canine throughout the whole state of Hawaii. And I'm proud to say that the Honolulu Fire Department utilized his services at the recent tragic Marco Polo apartment high-rise fire. Kaimi is available outside of our island. We've assisted at the Kauai Fire Department with large fires there, as well as the Honolulu Fire Department now and also Maui. So very integral part of our HFD Ohana.
Yeah, I think all of us were proud, at least I was, and I know Laura mentioned the same thing. It was kind of nice to read in the advertiser that Kaimi was over there helping determine where the origin of the fire was. How many fire stations are there on the island?
We have 20 career fire stations throughout the island. Of that, 15 also house advanced life support services ambulances, so our medic units, and at the South Koala Fire Station, also our aeromedical transport helicopter, and the Waikia Fire Station has our rescue helicopter as well.
Are those two helicopters more or less similar in their capabilities?
No, they're quite two different types of aircraft. The first one is our primary rescue helicopter is a McDonnell Douglas MD-500 helicopter. Its primary mission is extrication of victims out of the water, as well as search and rescue in mountainous areas, and also assisting with high-angle extrication. And then its secondary purpose is the extinguishment of wildland fires utilizing our Bambi bucket, which is the water bucket that's below. The aeromedical helicopter is a Bell 206 Long Ranger, which is designed to transport patients on a flat surface or a supine, lying down. And it also can assist with wildland firefighting and search and rescue as well.
And anybody who's had a chance to see those helicopter pilots in action, they are very skilled at getting the water where the fire is. I mean, even to a really fine degree, so I'm so glad we have them. But a curious question, recently Hawaii County was involved with the Drug Enforcement Agency in searching for marijuana. Do your helicopters do that?
No, we've never been requested by the police department or another agency for that type of service, but we do assist the Hawaii Police Department in any type of incident that they have ongoing, say a suspect has fled the scene or an assistance with an aerial view of a crime scene. We assist with the Hawaii Police Department with that.
Okay. So people don't have to worry about if they call the fire department, if they happen to be somebody who participates in, let's say, growing marijuana, they don't have to worry that your guys are out there to report them for what they're doing?
That's not our mission. We're not out there performing that type of duty.
Chief Rosario, roughly how many call-outs do your guys respond to on any basis, an annual basis, monthly basis, whatever you care to use?
Annually, we're responding to about 25,000 calls. We average about an increase of about between 700 and 1,000 per year.
I'm just trying to do the math. That's an awful lot of call-outs. And a lot of them really are not so much for fire, but more for emergency medical services. Is that right?
Yes, correct. So looking at our call volume, about 80 to 85% is emergency medical service or ambulance services. 4% is actual fire-related. About 10% or so is actually a community service where we go out and do static displays or public education and so forth. And then a small percentage is the calls that come in either good intent, meaning someone called 911, but when we got there, there was actually no emergency, or false calls where it's intentionally called out and nothing's really going on.
That's not nice. That's not nice to use your resources that way. Well, you know, I notice you're the chief, but you proudly wear a patch on your arm that says paramedic. Aren't all of your firefighters trained in how to be a paramedic or an emergency medical technician?
In emergency medical services, there's two level, which is the EMT, emergency medical technician, which all firefighters of the Hawaii Fire Department need to be certified as EMTs. After that certification and some experience and roll time, they can apply to our office and the Kapi'olani Community College system to be enrolled in the mobile intensive care technician, which is the paramedic level. That's an additional year of training.
Well, it's a good thing that they're all trained, since we've always known that what you guys do is you really take care of the island in all different ways.
Yes.
I want to talk to you about a program that I don't think initiated here because I've read about it on the mainland, but everywhere on the mainland and here too, a lot of times people call 911 and use it as their, let me say, primary care physician. And obviously that is not, number one, cost effective for the fire department, but also if somebody's going out to somebody who doesn't really have a serious emergency, it means they're not available to go to somebody who may have a serious emergency. And I recently saw that you have initiated a program to send out EMTs or paramedics to what I would call frequent flyers, people who call you all the time. Tell us a little bit about this program and why you did it and what's going to happen next.
Actually, I'd like to commend my EMS bureau staff that's headed by Battalion Chief Lance Uchida, and then Fire EMS Medical Specialist 3 Captain Jesse Arbosol is actually the spearhead on this initiative. Just doing research and looking out ways on how we could help be more readily available for our community. So doing research and through some EMS training venues that we attended and he attended, he got the information on some initiatives called community paramedicine, which is actually putting a paramedic or several of them out into the community and doing some primary care initiatives such as wound care and so forth. But most importantly is getting those people geared up or tied in with social services that they're lacking. So with that information that they received, we sent 3 personnel to Seattle, which has a very robust and successful program, and it was able to get the information that we needed. We returned back here in Hawaii, and they started the initiative for the next part, which is getting funding. So through an Office of Aging grant opportunity, we're able to fund one position, and we placed a position in Kailua Kona to help with, first and foremost, was our homeless initiative. So we tied a lot of programs into the community paramedicine, the homeless initiative, as well as fall prevention. So working with the community here in Kona, we did see that there was immediate improvement in reducing the amount of 911 usage. And then we also ramped that up in Hilo by having Captain Ebersol position do a part-time initiative in Hilo. So we've gotten a great success in reducing our use of the 911 ambulances, as well as, most importantly, is keeping these patients out of the emergency room So we tied them into a great community services, and most importantly, keeping them out of the emergency room frees up the emergency room doctors for what they're most needed, which is critically life-threatening injuries and illnesses.
You know, and anybody who uses the emergency room as their primary care physician, it is the most expensive thing they can possibly do. There's so many other ways. So this is great. I applaud you for going forward with that initiative, because it's been proven, as I have read, nationwide to really help the situation and help people get healthier and not call you guys all the time.
Yes, most definitely. And you know, it's really thinking outside of the box initiatives, and it ties into what we do at the SARE Foundation, because without additional support, we wouldn't be able to do any of these programs that we are. Our county budget basically provides for the services that we do. 911's called, you respond to the call, you take care of business, and you come back. But in order to expand and become the next generation of services, really takes initiatives to try out, see what works, make adjustments, but those things cost money, and we're so grateful for opportunities from the community and foundations such as the Daniel R. Sayre Foundation that helps us out to do what we need to do.
Chief Rosario, I want to talk about Sayre Foundation, but before we do that, I've got a few more questions for you, and the first one really is going back to what you mentioned before. Your dog, Kaimi, the arson dog, was over at the Marco Polo Apartments, which on, I believe it was July 15th, caught fire. It's a 36-story high-rise in Honolulu, and high-rise fires are pretty darn scary. Now, here on this island, I think our tallest building on this island is Bayshore Towers in Hilo. That's about 15 stories. The Nanaloa is around 12 stories. Lagoon Center in Hilo is around 10 stories. So we don't have those hugely gigantic buildings, but nevertheless, that's sort of a high-rise. How are your firefighters trained to deal with high-rise fires, even though our highest rise may be only 15 stories? And do they have the capability to get to a fire that would be up high like that?
Definitely. They definitely have the capability to get to a fire that's on any floor. The capability is either through a working elevator with fire protective services, that we have passes for that. The next step is what happened on Oahu, where you use your God-given legs to get up and down the stairway. On a high-rise fire versus a low-rise, which is most of the occupancies we have here, are dealt the same way. Each floor has a standpipe, but we hook up to a standpipe, and a standpipe is a water pipe that we hook up to, and our fire truck down at the road level pumps water into that pipe there, and then the firefighters hook up on the floor below and then work their way up to the next floor up. And it's a systematic approach where you're doing two things at the same time. Is one company or multiple companies are dealing with the control and extinguishment of the fire, while other companies are doing a floor-by-floor sweep and evacuation. All of that takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of manpower to get it, as you can see on the fire that happened on Oahu. But our personnel are trained for that. We're very grateful for a lot of hotels and apartment building complexes that allow us to train in there. Recently, within the last 8 years, we've brought on two ladder apparatuses to even help us with that. One at the South Kuala Station and now one at the Waikia Fire Station in Hilo.
Cool. Good. Nice to know we feel protected. And so you guys really do train for that kind of eventuality.
Yes.
Even though we hope it never happens.
Yes.
What does it mean when they say something is a two-alarm fire or a three-alarm fire or a five-alarm fire?
So basically across the nation, those are all apparatus and company assignments. So a one-alarm fire could basically mean one to two companies. As it progresses along, the incident commander calls in for an additional alarm. We'll bring in, for example, a department may have one alarm means two engine companies and a battalion chief and a rescue company. A two alarm will be an additional sources of that three alarm. So you bring in the same groupings in addition. For Hawaii County, I can tell you that we're all inclusive. If the fire goes beyond the initial response, we're actually pulling units from afar, from out districts. So here in Kona, a large fire will pull the resources that we have all in Kona, Captain Cook, Keoho, Kailua Kona, and Makale. And then if needed, we'll pull the resources from all the way from the South Kohala Fire Station.
Well, you know, during the Lako Street fire, just one that I happen to know more about, there were guys who came in from Pahala, and I saw guys from all over.
Yes, yeah, so those are usually our recall personnel or our volunteers with specific apparatus. or our career side with specific apparatus, but we don't utilize the terminology of one alarm or two alarm because we're at a basic amount of company levels. So the battalion chief will just ask for an additional engine company or an additional ladder company and so forth.
Chief Rosario, what's the budget for Hawaii County Fire Department?
We're currently right at about $38 million, of which $17 million of that is funded by the State Department of Health's EMS Bureau, so we can run the EMS system here on Hawaii Island.
So your budget, it's a big budget, but it doesn't cover everything you would like to have, and that's where I want to turn to the Sayre Foundation, because this is the 20th year that the Daniel Sayre Foundation has not only raised funds for Hawaii County Fire, but recognized members of the fire team. And with that, I'm going to interrupt myself and remind you that this is Island Issues, and I'm Sherry Brown. And we're here every Sunday morning, 6:30 a.m. Koa Country, 107.7 FM, 8 a.m. Lava 105.3 FM. And then we post the interviews as podcasts at lava1053.com and at koacountry1077.com. Click on Island Issues and then on the Island Issues microphone. We've just gotten an update from Hawaii County Fire Chief Darren Rosario, and now we're going to be speaking with Laura Mallory Sayre and Dr. Frank Sayre and a little more with Chief Rosario about the benefits that the Sayre Foundation provides to the fire department and how we all can help. Next Sunday morning, we're going to revisit an interview I did in 2011 with Jim Rizzuto. Jim Rizzuto wrote a fishing column every single Monday in West Hawaii Today since sometime in the 1960s, and he sadly passed away at the beginning of July. His memorial is coming up on Tuesday, August 15th, and I wanted to have us remember Jim Rizzuto, so that is next Sunday morning. Now, let's find out more about the Sayre Foundation. Laura Mallory Sayre, give us a brief reminder of what the Daniel Sayre Foundation is and how you and your husband Frank came to create it.
Our foundation was established in 1997 when our 25-year-old son Dan fell off of a cliff up at Pololu Valley near Kapalua Falls. The Waiakea Rescue Station came to our aid to attempt to rescue him. After 10 hours of attempts with helicopters, different helicopters and different pilots, they were calling the rescue off. And they were going to have to come back the next day with rappelling ropes, which they would have to secure from Oahu because they did not have rappelling ropes for either of the rescue stations here. At that time, they asked us to leave. They couldn't determine whether Dan was dead or alive at that point, and we said, you know, unless you can assure us he's passed away, we're staying. And it just so happened at that very moment that David Okita, who had been out on another mission, was able to come, and they called him in, and all of the rescue workers volunteered to stay. Their day was over, but they volunteered to stay. And David was able to take James Kuniyoshi and Clarence Young in on a cable underneath the helicopter, drop them down with a billy punette into the canyon, which was 500 feet below the edge of the trail. Even with the wind from the waterfall, 1,000-foot waterfall blowing them around, he was able to get them into the canyon while he was cutting branches off of both sides of the canyon with the rotors. And he was able to drop them in there. They were able to get to Dan. They were able to determine that he had passed away. And they got him out, and then he had to go back with the same dangerous conditions and get James and Clarence out of there. We knew from the year before when a similar rescue had occurred on Oahu that the helicopter had gone down with everybody aboard. And not only did they die, but of course the people they were trying to rescue died as well. So we knew only too well how serious and how dangerous this was. They were able to get our son back to us and give us closure. And on the way home, Frank and I had some pretty amazing experiences. Frank said, you know, I know I would be okay if I knew he was okay. And immediately a double rainbow formed against a clear blue sky and followed us all the way from Mahukona all the way home to our home in Koloko. That's impossible, we know, but we knew it was, we felt it was a message. And we both decided at that time, maybe with a little prompting from our son of at that point, that we needed to do something for these people who had put their lives on the line for us, for someone they didn't know, for a 25-year-old boy, young man, who was a risk taker. You never can thank someone for risking their lives for you. You never, ever can say thank you enough. So we decided we wanted to honor the men who were so instrumental that day in helping us. So we turned to Brian Caldwell, who was a rescue captain here at the Kailua Station, really good friend of ours, and said, you know, we'd like to have these gentlemen nominated for an awards program. And we found out there was no awards program for the fire department, not even on a statewide level. So we met with the fire chief, several fire chiefs, at Brian's instrumental arrangement with a luncheon. And they also told us at the time that the reason they had not been able to rappel was because they didn't have the rescue ropes. And not only that, but they didn't have a lot of equipment that they needed due to the budget that the Hawaii County had for them, or lack thereof. And so it was at that point we decided that we wanted to make a difference. And so at our first fundraiser, which was at the Mauna Kea Beach Hotel, Frank and I donated two sets of rescue ropes, one for each of the rescue companies. And we honored the five men who were so instrumental, David Okita, the pilot, James Kuniyoshi, and Clarence Young, who were the rescue workers that went on the cable down to get Dan, the chief, the captain of the rescue team, Russell Miao, and Lana Rowe, who was a rescue worker that kept us calm and collected that day and kept us well informed and kept me from having a nervous breakdown. We honored those five gentlemen 20 years ago. And on September 2nd of this year, we will have the 20th anniversary, and we will have, with the help of our community, raised $1.75 million so far, and we're hoping this year to go over the $2 million mark.
And this is money that essentially goes to buy equipment that Chief Rosario and his teams say they need, they would find of value to really enhance their capabilities. Because I feel, Chief Rosario, like your capabilities are really excellent, but I know that what Laura and Frank have done has made you even better.
Yes, definitely. Most of the equipment they've provided has been equipment that, you know, technology keeps moving forward. Government funding doesn't move forward as quickly as technology does, and no fault to anyone. A good example of an equipment item that we normally would not purchase on the county side is a dive mask capable of communicating up to the incident commander on either the boat or at the incident command site. So that was something that came out from our line rescue personnel following a very arduous search and recovery of a victim out here on the South Kohala coastline. Very dangerous cave rescue, underwater cave rescue, that we communicated old school style by pulling on a rope. One pull, you're okay. Four pulls, come and get me, I'm in trouble. Two for, you know, take up and so forth. But now, safety is improved because through the SARE Foundation, we purchased dive masks that has the capability of voice messaging back up to the incident commander. So they can speak clearly. The diver can say, I can see the victim, or I need additional help down here, and so forth. So with that, it's already been immeasurable in increasing the safety value of our personnel out there on the line. And recently, we've purchased equipment and assistance for our volunteer firefighters as well, and our water safety officers all on the beaches. So I can't say enough for the amount of assistance we've gotten through the foundation over the past 20 years. It's immeasurable. It is given from the heart, which is, you can't value that. It's the most amazing gift anyone can receive.
Well, Laura, the story of Danny always makes me a little weepy, for sure. But you two, you and Frank, have turned this into such a positive for our island. This year, you're going to be again recognizing members of Chief Rosario's team?
Yes, Sherry, we've got a number of folks that are being honored. We have a helicopter pilot, Paul Darrell, and fire rescue specialists, Chad Chunfat, Jason Robello, Mike Judd, EMT Sean Watson, firefighter Mike Matsuda, and then Ocean Safety Officer Paul Tucker, and Robin Fasino, and John Kapsky. These are folks who were instrumental in saving lives in different situations, and one of the things that we are able to do, I think, is just really fantastic, is we have a retired firefighter, Jeff Alu, who does video interviews, and which we get to show at the event about what went on, and you get to hear it from the perspective of the firefighters who were involved and sometimes the perspective of the victims that were involved as well.
How are these honorees selected? Do you select them? Are they nominated by the chief? How does this happen?
They're nominated usually by their captains or their battalion chiefs who were involved. And then they go to Chief Rosario and Battalion Chief Gerald Kasaki, and they review these. And then they're sent to us, and then we pick who is selected.
Oh, no pressure here. Because really, they probably, everybably deserve, actually, everybody in the department probably
deserves
it. Well,
most everybody, yeah. I think they're very selective about who they send to us because this is a prestigious honor. And not only does our foundation honor these individuals, but they're honored by the County of Hawaii. They're honored by the State House of Representatives and the State Senate as well. It is a statewide honor, actually. And of course, our foundation honors them for meritorious service for the call above and beyond. We make it a very gala event. It's a 5-star buffet at the Fairmont Orchid. The Fairmont pulls out all of the stops. We have a huge silent auction. It takes up 3 ballrooms. And then we have this huge gala event in their grand ballroom where we have a live auction to buy needed equipment so people can actually buy something that the fire department needs. We have these videos about the rescues, and we honor the gentlemen or ladies at the same time. So it's fun. We also have a game that we play where we give away gifts. This year we have a $500 Hawaiian Airlines coupon and a signed Fender electric guitar signed by Eric Clapton.
Didn't you have a guitar before?
We have. We had Rolling Stones.
Oh, my gosh.
And we also had one with Paul McCartney.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I want that.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And only because I like Eric Clapton.
And then
a lot.
We have some amazing, we have an NFL Super Bowl helmet that has been signed by all the MVPs, and we also have a Sports Illustrated cover with the Olympic gold medalist Michael Phelps, Katie Ledecky, and Simone Biles, and there are only 50 of them in the world, and so we have one of those too. So
nice.
We're going to have some amazing things at the silent auction, and the majority of the silent auction donations come from members of our community. The people who donate to us tend to donate every year. We owe them a huge amount of gratitude. And then the fundraiser with the live auction, people come to our event every year to help us buy equipment, automatic defibrillators, rescue boards. Fundraisers are put on all year long. Janet and Grant Miller put on the King Swim and give us money from that. The PGA and Mitsubishi Electric gives us money. The Paradise Helicopter gives us money every year. And these big donations, the Ironman Foundation gives us tremendous amount of support.
That's good. That's
so
good.
It's all good.
Just let me ask you, the date is Saturday?
Saturday, September 2nd. It's always Labor Day Saturday. It starts at 4:30 with the silent auction.
Okay. And if people want to go to that,
go to our foundation website, www.danielsayre, and Sayre spelled S-A-Y-R-E, danielsayrefoundation.org, .net, .com. We have them all. And go on. And it's already set up to take reservations. We're already getting tables of 10. I think this is going to be a sold-out event. So if people do want to come, and I hope everyone does, that they get their tickets early.
And if they have questions, can they call you?
They may. And our number is 325-5456. That's 325-5456. We're in the phone book.
And what if somebody just wants to donate money but is not going to come to the event?
They can also donate online. And we're going to be sending out invitations. If people would like to have invitations and they've not received one before, they can contact me at 325-5456. We would love to send you an invitation.
Laura, one of the things that the Sayre Foundation does is, I believe you established a fund to help catch arsonists. Is that right?
That is correct. We established an arsonist fund several years ago when we were having all those terrible fires along the Kahala Coast, and 9 fires were set in one night.
And then up on Mamaloha Highway
as well.
And
Mamaloha Highway as well. And we have taken $5,000 of that money and donated it for this cause. The fire department has access to that. It's for the arrest and conviction of the person they catch or persons that they catch that are guilty of arson. So, yeah, you can contact the fire department. If you know of anyone who is doing this, please contact the fire department, and there is a reward.
Chief Rosario, I think we are still facing an arsonist or two on this island, are we not?
Recent history shows that the trends could probably points to someone that's setting the fires in an illicit manner, correct?
That's so diplomatic. I don't like this person, whoever they are. But for one summer, 2 years ago, I think we had like 14 or 15 of them up on Mamalaha Highway around Highway 190. We had somebody in Kau setting fires, and I understand that you really do think that a person is out there again doing this. So how would people, like, what are they looking for to see an arsonist?
You know, arson is one of the most difficult things to investigate and then prosecute. The most important piece of evidence that we can get is video. You know, with the amount of social media that's out there, iPads, iPhones. If you're driving on the road when you see a car parked somewhere where it shouldn't be, just take a picture. And if something happens later, that's valuable information to the Hawaii Police Department and our investigators as well. When you see anyone doing something that doesn't look right, take a video of it safely. Do not, you know, get into a situation where you're confronted or anything. We most certainly do not want anyone to get into a situation where they'll get hurt when they're trying to do the right thing.
But if somebody sees a vehicle doing something weird, they could just get the license plate too if that were easier, yeah?
Correct.
That would be helpful.
Yes.
Yeah, arsonists are like the worst because they endanger everybody and they certainly endanger our first responders, which really makes me mad.
Well, and the other part of it is they use up valuable resources. I mean, there's only so much money to go around, and I believe I just found out that 2% of the county budget for the fire department, other than the $1.3 million that goes to fire equipment per se, 2% is for the equipment, for the rescue teams, and for the rest of the fire department. So 2% is all that they have to upgrade and to get new equipment, etc. So we need those funds. It makes me mad, too, that somebody's burning up the money that we need for our growth in technology.
Well, yeah, because if Fire Chief Rosario, your folks are out there fighting a fire, that is spending company money, county money, that could be certainly used for other purposes if they don't need to do that.
Yeah, two valuable resources. Our first is foremost is our firefighters themselves. We certainly do not want anyone to get hurt. Second valuable resource is the only way to, well, one of the ways to put out a fire is utilizing water, which is a key resource, natural resource that we have to, you know, take care of, especially now with the issues that we have here with the well situation. And I do want to thank the community that really stepped forward during the 4th of July weekend. We had very limited incidents. I believe we had 3 incidents in all of West Hawaii. That's the whole western side of the island and about 4 on the eastern side. So my hat's off to the Big Island community who really enjoy fireworks in a very responsible way. But I think with the community knowing that we had a restriction in the water usage and a potential problem, they really stepped up and was responsible. And on behalf of my department, I'm very grateful for that.
Well, volunteer fire captain John Birch assured me, though, that if there is a fire, you will be able to put it out. You will spare no water, that you're not wasting water now, not doing actual water training, but you will get that fire out no matter what, yeah?
Yes, there's an ample supply of water. What we do is if there's a fire right here going on, we immediately contact the Department of Water Supply to let them know what hydrants we may be taking water from so that they can, at their level, shift pump resources or so forth to make sure that our taking out of water does not cause the system to fail.
Very good. So, Laura Sayre, if people want to get involved with the Daniel Sayre Foundation, even just to make a donation, again, your website is
danielsayrefoundation.org.
And call you at what number?
325-5456. And we're listed under Dr. Frank Sayre in the phone book, so you can find us there as well. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to have everybody come. We're really grateful to this community because the community is what has made this foundation so successful. It's not Frank and I. It's the community. So this is our community's foundation to help our firefighters save lives.
And the community thanks you, Dr. Frank Sayre, Laura Mallory Sayre, for establishing this foundation because you do so many good things. And I'm sure, Chief Rosario, your guys all feel that way too.
Most definitely. We can't say thank you enough to the Sayre Foundation and for what they have done for our department, which in turn we give back to the community by being there for them.
Thank you so much, Frank Sayre, Laura Sayre, and Chief Darren Rosario for being with us today. Aloha.
Thank you so much, Sherry. Aloha.
And to our listeners, thank you so much for being part of Island Issues. I'm Sherry Bracken. This is Island Issues, and I'll see you next Sunday morning for another Island Issues. Until then, please, let's all live and drive with aloha. Ahoi ho.
Thank you for listening to Island Issues. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Email us, info@lava1053.com. Join us again next week for another edition of Island Issues, a service of Hawaii Islands Mahalo Multimedia.